way back in the early 20-teens, a city fella from Minnesota and a wannabe cowpuncher from small town Iowa came together to swap tall tales over the airwaves. They made lots of friends along the way, but even more enemies. By chance, they made acquaintance with a sodbuster from over the other side of the county, who felt obliged to butt in on their little show and give them the what fors from time to time. After nigh on a decade of pointless blathering, one thing led to another, and they were unceremoniously tossed out on their ear from their little radio show. Eventually, this ragtag group found their way back together and decided to start a little podcast we like to call Dutch by Association.
Yeah, we're getting started, but I told you guys, I didn't even get a sheet ready for today.
That's all right. Passed out show 37 again.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 38 of the Dutch by Association podcast. I'm your host, Wayne Barahona. Along with me, as always, are my good friends and co-hosts, Aaron Alonzo and Mitch Geese.
Today's episode of the DBA pod is brought to you by Super High Tech. Back to school time is here, and you don't want your child to be the subject of tech shaming, do you? Of course not. You're better than that. Stop by any of Super High Tech's three locations and get your kids set up for success with a new laptop or desktop online at super-ht.com.
Read right through the mistake.
Great
like
job.
A champion.
Wow.
Like a
That's
champion.
What happens if you proofread things, even if it's like 2 weeks ago.
And you know what's funny is that when I was in radio, that we would have that exact same conversation, like, hey, read it once before you go live.
I think
like that's really all it takes is reading it once and go, oh, that's not right. Ron Drinko Motors time is this.
Mm. And then they would do the dirty trick of giving you a new one every month.
The audacity.
It's so hard. I think I grew. I grew a lot through those 5.5 years.
Yeah, I know.
It was that long.
It was. It was interesting to see how much of an adolescent you were when you were like 33.
When I
I still remember not long after you started, Wayne, you and I were at Langer's with Walt, and he was having a conversation with you about,
I don't know if he's going to make it.
We'll see if this works out. So you did pretty well to make it 5.5 years.
Stuck it out.
Well, to be fair, he made it the first 2 years because he didn't ask for pay. So I think that was
not quite that long, he didn't want to be impolite. I did get invited to Jay's two different times.
That's right.
To have free cheese balls in a Busch Light.
I feel like you turned around from somewhere when you got the call to go to Jay's.
Yeah. Oh, no, I was actually going to go to Bible study, but no, this is more important.
That's right. This is for a chance to advance my career.
What a deal.
I still get people, you know, really miss you guys on the radio. And I tell them I miss the radio, too. I just don't miss the hours or the employer.
Mm-hmm.
I miss the actual act of radio. I miss being able to, like, because, you know, we really did connect with people. And we, you know, we had a bit of a means of having, like, a conversation because you'd have the texts and you'd have the emails and you have phone calls and all that. So I do miss that part. And that's the one thing that I don't like about the podcast. It's like we just put it out and then it's out there into the ether. And then you might get a little bit of feedback on this piece or that piece. But I guess, que sera, sera. Whatever.
If there was 26 hours in a day and those 2 hours were added in the morning where you didn't have to be to work till 10.
Yeah.
Could easy handle it.
Yeah.
But such it is. Now we have a podcast and I like it. It's a couple hours every other week. My wife thinks it's like 3 times a week the way she looks when I tell her, well, we're recording a podcast on Tuesday. Did you just do that? No, just kidding. She's so fine.
I'm guessing she doesn't listen.
Yeah.
Every once in a while she does, and it's usually right when I walk in the house, I'm hearing it play on her phone, and all of a sudden it just scares you to death. Crap, what episode is this, and did I say anything about our family?
Well, and you have to go back to the, well, you know, honey, there's regular Aaron, and then there's radio Aaron, and, you know, these circles may intersect at some points, but
it's 95% there, but there's a little bit added for fun. Excitement.
Yeah, you're really a lot more boring than you let on.
It's true.
Right. Right. Good thing you do embellish. Or...
We'd have people sleeping.
Well, Mitch, welcome back. You took your, what, second, third vacation of the year? Fourth? I don't know.
My second vacation of the year.
If we only count things longer than 10 days, it's only your second.
That is not. That's not true. It's my second vacation.
Period.
Of the year.
Okay. All right. You headed east, young man.
I did. We had a great time. So we went basically Saturday to Saturday. So we're gone 8 days, I guess. And went to the Dells, which I had never been to the Dells. Have you guys been to the Dells?
I've been through there
multiple times.
And I've not ever actually done the water park thing.
I'm just going to tell you right now, you would hate it. You would absolutely freaking hate it. Everything costs a fortune. There's a million people everywhere.
Oh, that's all. Yeah,
you got to wait in line. You end up sunburned.
This sounds a lot like about it. Then this isn't the same as your Disney thing?
Yeah, that kind of
sounds a lot like your Disney
thing. I like the Dells, other than it was way too expensive for what it is. Like, the hotel room looks nice online, and for what it costs, it should be really nice. It should be, like, you know, gold-plated everything.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you do get your water park pass.
Right.
You know, with that $25.
And they probably scrubbed the puke out after the last kids that were in there.
Well, no. See, the room smelled like a mixture of mildew and spilled hams beer, I think, was the scent I detected.
Oddly, I can envision that smell.
It smelled like my dorm room, like my college dorm room.
It brought me back.
Yeah, it kind of did. It was.
Hey, you want to come over here and listen to some Dave Matthews Band?
Well, based on the smoke I could smell wafting into the hallway, there were Dave Matthews fans on the premises But it wasn't like crappy or run down, but it was. You can tell a lot of people cycle through these hotel rooms, and they're not that fussy. Our room had a dehumidifier in it. I had to empty the thing twice a day. And it was like the kind I have in my basement, not like a baby one. And I'm thinking,
Where's all the water coming from?
Wait, you said there's a water park.
But we weren't tracking a bunch of water in, really.
That's probably your fresh water that you're supposed to, complimentary with the room.
Oh, yeah. We were supposed to make coffee fresh with
water.
That.
Yeah, the dehumidifier actually filters it. It's the cleanest water you'll get here.
Mm.
No, it was a lot of fun. The water slides and all that. I mean, that was a lot of fun.
I didn't see any pictures on you or your wife's Facebook of you doing any water slides.
Well, we left our phones at the hotel room, so they didn't get ruined in the water.
Hmm.
So
how responsible.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But
it's been a lot of years since we've been to the Wisconsin Dells. It would be when I was in high school, probably. So I remember that was right when I decided that a gold chain was cool to wear. Like a really small gold chain thing.
Did you have a cross on it?
No, nothing.
Really?
Just was that. Yeah, it lasted like 3 weeks, and one of them weeks was when we were in the Dells, where I realized it was just really
Never mind.
I had enough.
I can't pull this off.
No, I had like friends look at me. What are you doing? Did someone put... What? And they're like, okay, all right, I'm not
Never
meant
mind.
For this. I'm
Never
not
mind.
Meant for this.
Never mind.
But I could have put you in touch with my mother because... So we were meeting cousins and uncles and aunts that lived by Grand Rapids, Michigan. It was kind of the midway point.
Right.
So that's where we would come together. And I bet we went out there 4 or 5 times and we stayed at the same little hotel, went to the same park, and you never went out to eat. You just had big coolers with lots of ham, cheese, and buns.
Well, we should have done that.
Now, that actually brings up an interesting thought. How many ham sandwiches do you think you've had in your entire life?
You know, and the last one I had is just as good as the first. It's like genetic.
Ooh. Ham buns.
And cheese. Oh. Because, I don't know. It's real, though. We were camping this weekend and, at least one, probably two meals. I'm going to make a ham and cheese, but take two.
Yep.
I'll take two. And you know what? I'll spice it up. I'll have some ketchup. Put a little ketchup on her.
And some plain Lay's.
Yes. Yep. Some plain Lay's.
Generic Lay's, not actual Lay's.
Yeah, store brand Lay's.
Right.
Yeah.
No, not unless they're on like super sale.
Right.
Somehow cheaper than store brand.
And then you eat enough of them and they cut the roof of your mouth and then the salt gets in there and you're just like, oh, this is great. Oh. This is wonderful.
And you, wash it down with your hee-haw or whatever.
Hillbilly holler.
Yeah, I'm sure my mom could have told. Because we did literally stay at the same place. And it was one of those hotels where all of the rooms, the door opens to the outside.
Yep.
Yeah, but it was really nice.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as I knew in the 90s, what was nice.
Sure.
It had a pool. That's all we cared about as kids.
Yep. Well, and we weren't there long enough to do any of the other fun things. I mean, you know, you can mini golf, go-karts, mm-hmm. there's an amusement park, there's, you know, boat rides, and, you know, we had other stuff to do. So we were only there a couple days. No, no. I would have liked to. I would have been a little gun-shy after the Branson thing a few years ago, if you remember that.
How many years ago was that?
Yeah, and I was on a big lake.
Every day?
I know. I'm just kidding, but...
It's like saying,
but if that thought does cross your mind.
Well, I would never.
Like, I don't want that to be the last thing I ever do is ride a duck. But we didn't.
We all got to die of something, Mitch. We all got to die of something.
We didn't.
I will probably diabetes.
You know.
we didn't have time for that anyway because we had to get over to Green Bay to go to the Mecca of cheeseheads.
Mm-hmm.
The Lambeau Stadium, which I know I can feel your Viking fan eyes burning into my soul right now. And I'm sort of a Vikings fan, but not even close to the same level you are.
Right.
But that was freaking awesome. Like, if you ever get the opportunity, you have to go. It was so cool. It was an hour tour. You got to go up and check out one of the box seats. And then you walk out of the same tunnel the players walk out of, and they got the little sign. The players slap on the way out, and then they play pump up music as you're coming out of the tunnel.
Oh boy!
And you come out on the Lambeau Field, and it's, you know, it's way bigger than it looks from the stands when you're down on the field. And then they make every person in the group yell "Go Pack, go!"
That's where I'd be out. Like, okay, look, I was in on this.
Wyatt,
until you forced me to say "Go Pack."
The tour guide said everybody has to do it because you want to hear the echo of what it would. Then imagine what it would sound like with 80,000 more people. So then Wyatt joined in, and he despises the Packers, but he still thought the tour was cool. And afterwards, I was like, "Hey, I got that on video, buddy. You saying go Pack, go?" And he's like grabbing for my phone, like gonna smash my phone. I was like, "No." I'm kidding, man. But no, that was freaking awesome. Highly recommended if you ever get the chance.
Did you eat at the Brett Favre Grill right across the parking lot?
No, I didn't see that. But we went to, I don't know, some other place right over there. I mean, it's a really neat complex, and they've got outdoor turf field right next door. What do they call that? Title Town. So there's a whole playground, and then there's like a track where you can time yourself running your 40-yard dash.
Oh, yeah, I saw your wife was...
I chose not to participate.
17 seconds. All right.
Yeah, well, I didn't really want to blow a hammy 2 days into vacation. That would have ruined everybody's trip. But no, that was awesome.
One of the things that struck me when we were at Lambeau Field was we looked out.
That's right. You got a paid vendor deal, right?
Sold a bunch of furnaces, and they were like, "Hey, we've got a booth." And yeah, it was really, really cool. But you looked out. You have got parking lot. You have the street, and then you have residential houses.
Yeah.
And not really nice residential houses. It's just plain Jane residential neighborhood right next door to the stadium.
But so we stayed at an Airbnb like 3 blocks away from there. So, and that's what it's intended for, obviously, is mainly Packer games. But we drove by on one of the corners right across from the stadium. Excuse me. There's a duplex for sale. Probably built in the 70s or 80s. So, Not crappy by any means, but nothing, like you say, nothing fancy at all. You could buy both halves of the duplex for $1.4 million.
No wonder none of the houses are fixed up real nice.
Yeah.
Because you just spent all your money just buying
them. And we're like, well, I suppose like an investment for Airbnb, but what are there, 10 home games a year, roughly? Right. Yep. You'd have to charge like $5,000 a night.
No, it's eight home games a year.
Yeah, eight. Yeah.
Maybe not.
I don't know how you pencil that out. You don't.
That wouldn't work. You just have to be the biggest Packer fan with more money than you know what to do
with. Yeah, more dollars than cents. That's for certain. There's actually a customer of ours around here that is from Green Bay, actually still owns a home in Green Bay, one of those homes that you're talking about. And I think that, or maybe her daughter lives there now or something, and we visit about it, and I, you know, she knows that I'm a big Vikings fan, so every time that she comes in, we, you know, the jabs come quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then they always say, like, oh, well, you know, how's that Minnesota Vikings trophy case?
That's the first time I heard that.
Remember, yeah,
I'm going to say the Vikings Hall of Fame would be a little less impressive, probably.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Packers, it's one of the most storied franchise of the NFL. I mean, Vince Lombardi.
Like, right.
They got a whole trophy named after him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But no, that was neat. Then we went up to the UP. Have you guys been to the UP?
Have not.
I never had. That was awesome. Had a great time there. Did some hiking. Oh, no, it was good.
Walked
was
it a couple of
was it good?
I actually enjoyed it.
What did you see that made hiking so exciting?
Lake Superior and the
let's go walk for a couple miles and pray to God we wind up back where we started.
No, it's beautiful. Love that area. And then we stopped in Wisconsin Rapids, which I didn't even know was a town, but they have a Northwoods League baseball team there, and it's kind of the midway point on the way home, and we didn't want to do the whole 11 hours in one day coming home, so we stopped there and caught a little minor league or whatever it is, college developmental league game on the way home, and then got back on Saturday. This is a great vacation.
Kids liked it?
They did.
Well, so was the Lambeau Field the highlight, would you say?
I would say that... Yeah. Well, I asked the kids to name their favorite part, and they named every single thing we did. Well, so then that was good.
You did a good job.
Yeah.
And now with your new job, you start out with 4 weeks vacation, so, you know, just wait another week
off,
and that
I'm
whole
off
thing
next
starts.
Week. Yeah.
Yeah. What are you going to do with, I mean, nobody's paying you for last week that you missed. You're missing 1/52nd. Of your salary.
I had PTO to didn't get paid that hurt? Out at my previous job.
Oh, so yeah. You are getting paid
for
it.
Come on now. Oh, Mama didn't raise
I
no
know,
dummy.
I know how you're, you know,
check-to-check check living. Out. Oh, yeah, okay. I was maxed out on PTO when I left. Didn't even know I was leaving, but worked out pretty good. So
you're going to get PTO while getting paid by the bank. You'll get like
double
3
dip.
Weeks of double pay.
Yeah.
Just incredible.
It'll be like owning a plumbing business.
It will be like owning a plumbing business.
Probably get taxed the same too.
Ooh.
I don't want to make more money. They'll just take more taxes.
Yes. I explained it to one of my guys who I thought would know better.
That doesn't work that way.
So I just seen my last paycheck and I really had a lot more tax taken out and blah, blah, blah. And
well, let me explain to you how income tax works and how we have to play by the IRS's rules when it comes to paycheck withholdings. And, oh, wow, yeah, wow. And I'm
it's
like,
just not worth it for me to work. I mean, you know.
Yeah,
it hardly pays a tax bill.
You know, and then people say, you know, maybe they should have taught us less trigonometry and more about taxes in high school. And it's like, I'm pretty sure you were taught this in high school. There's a lot of days in high school that you don't remember nearly anyone.
Yeah, and it's usually the people that say that are the ones that spent a few times underneath the stairs in a very smoky area. And I mean, not that I'm talking from experience
like,
or anything.
Well, you went to a 4-year college, and I'm kind of low on the totem pole here as far as education is concerned. But maybe that's, you know, you get to run your own show, you figure that stuff out. But I have seen so many people say, I'm going to work overtime because the government just takes everything more than I make. Oh, my goodness. I mean, do you think when you're doing income taxes at the end of the year, are you processing what's happening?
I know.
No? No. Ask your wife.
I had a, can help you. Teacher, a teacher one time told me, I don't work in the summer because actually by the time I pay the taxes on that, it would cost me money to work in the summer.
Puts me in a whole nother tax bracket.
So your wife believes that, huh? And lets you stay at home all summer. Well, good for you could pull that off with her.
Yeah.
You know, it puts me into a whole nother tax bracket and then every penny I make is taxed 10% higher.
No, that's not how a progressive tax works.
It's frustrating, isn't it? You can't even... How do we get here?
I don't know. I've been.
Oh, we were talking about about how much PTO you have, and then you're like, oh, well, plumbers, and computer repair guys,
Well, no, I mean, by the looks of it, on Highway 18, McDonald's employees starting at $13.
Yeah, my boy's getting excited.
Come on now.
Hey, Dad, when can I start at McDonald's? I
said, no. Quarter to never.
I don't think it would be bad to work there, at least for a little, because we've said this before, don't you think it's important that you work in the service industry and so that allows you to grow an appreciation for the people that do that kind of thing, so you treat them better, waitresses and waiters and cooks. And
I just, you wonder how much oversight there is at those jobs,
talking about your pickles? Your pickles are all like stacked on top of each other and hardly on your bun. If there was oversight, that wouldn't happen. If there was proper oversight at McDonald's,
maybe
the cheese would be squared up on my burger.
Yeah.
My pickles would be spread out. My burger
would be squared on the bun.
Yes, but instead you got to open it and you got to reset the whole farting thing. Do I need to pay 20 cents more? What do we need here for you to build this thing right? And, you know, now you're pointing out lack of oversight. Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, well, it's also hard to... I need to stop. I was going to go down this whole rabbit hole about, you know, people who give a damn and this and that, but I'm not going to be a downer.
Really?
Oh, wow.
That's not surprising.
Kind of changing our whole format.
I guess we'll there goes the plan.
This might be my second beer talking, but I'm thinking that, you know, we'll try and stay more positive.
That sounds good.
But all right. We'll see if that holds true.
Should we all get another round?
Yeah, that sounds good. We'll be back with segment number two and more on
optimism, happiness, vacations,
or we'll get into politics.
Sounds good to me.
He just rolls his eyes.
Poor Mitch.
Back with more after this.
I am worried.
I don't know. This is Mitch 2.0 though. He's in employment.
He's a more
preservation conscious. Mode.
No.
Well, no, guys. Just, you know, no sex, no drugs, no rock and roll, no religion, no politics.
Well, the first three, sex, drug, and rock and roll, have really occupied a lot of our time here.
Right.
By association.
We were actually talking off air about the city having a housing talk, and they're talking about you know, what they need to do for housing. And I really, the only way that I see that whole thing working, as far as, you know, talking about the need for affordable housing, it's a housing needs assessment.
Did you guys did you log on and take your little test?
I've been meaning to, and I just have not gotten to it yet.
Did you get yours done?
I have, and I don't even live here. The first four questions, like, excluded me from continuing in the quiz, and I'm the guy that does it.
You actually did it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, good look at you.
Do you live in Sheldon?
No.
Do you have any intention of moving in Sheldon?
No.
Do you have anything to... Why are you here?
Yeah. I don't know.
Will you build a house in Sheldon?
No.
Why are you here? I'm not sure. Well, and what it's really all going to come down to, and there's really no two ways about it, and I think it's kind of the same in every town. You get, when you're on city government, you get people coming up, well, why don't we have this, and why don't we have that, and, you know, we need to find space for this, you know, amenities, parks, that sort of thing, and it's just like, hey, look at our footprint here. We literally consume every single piece of land that we own, or at least have it for sale and zoned or what have you. We're obviously not going to put a park like on the off ramp of Highway 60, but that's, I'm thinking, you know, people are, I got our good buddy Marv was talking about how we should be selling the city's properties to pay for the aerial truck
properties?
Getting. Well, yeah, that's what I asked too. And, you know, so there's one that is out by the pavilion there. There's one part in front, which I guess would be next to McDonald's. And then on the other side of Holiday Inn, there's that other parcel there.
Well, I thought that was a new hotel.
It will be a new hotel, but it's not yet, right? So we're supposed to sell these, and then like the lot around the pavilion and all that. And so obviously that doesn't make any sense. But you look at, and a lot of our communities are forced to the same thing. It's you're going to have to spend money, and you're going to have to buy ground because we really literally don't have any more. So how do you make affordable housing when you have to buy ground for $35,000 an acre? It doesn't pencil out. So what we have to try and do is the city just has to eat it, right? And nobody wants to hear that because, well, that's a tax dollar. You're wasting money. It's like, okay, well, all right, you can't have your cake and eat it too. I mean, if we're going to buy land at $35,000 an acre, and then we're going to pay to put in all the infrastructure, and then we're going to pay to put in all of the curb and gutter. I mean, it's all part of the infrastructure, but yeah, you're talking tens of millions of dollars here.
Yeah,
and
but then the city stands to make all of this back in property taxes over the course of the next 350 years.
That's about right, too.
I don't understand how this doesn't work for you.
But that's exactly right. You know, and it's, we want affordable housing. I think that's, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about
so
it.
Here,
but there's two things that prevent that. One, we don't have the available area to do it. And if we did, it would be so cost prohibitive that it wouldn't happen. Two, the areas that we do have, i.e. rentals, are by and large in such garbage condition that we're not going to be able to rent them.
Have you personally gone through these that you could make such a statement, Mr. Barahona?
Well, I have actually been through a few of them. I've lived in a few of them, and I've had constituents come up to me to talk about them.
I've been through plenty. I can actually second what you said.
I'm not pointing out any single landlord or property owner, but what I'm saying is there's a problem going on in Orange City right now, where they have instituted a rental code, and now the city
and
has
inspection
been,
process, right?
Yep. And now the city's being sued by landlords and lessees because of this. The landlords, obviously, because you know they don't want the government dictating what they're doing, and then the renters because they don't want to allow the man in their house, which I get. Fine. You don't want, quote unquote, the man in your house. But what are they checking for? To make sure you have a working fire detector, smoke detector.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like
you have running water in your house, yeah, which is a thing that we got brought up here in Sheldon,
yeah,
in a few instances, right?
Yeah, that maybe you have a working front door handle and lock.
Yeah.
We had to go do work at a unit in town that has since been sold, different ownership, but you used a fork that sat on top of the little mailbox screwed to the house right there. You used a fork that sat there to pry the storm door open to get it open, and then you could enter the structure.
Jeez.
And the places we get to, it's unreal. And what I marvel is that some of these tenants feel that this is their only option and they don't dare squawk because the landlord will throw them out, and they know that the situation we're in Sheldon is there's really no rentals available. They're going to be out on the street.
Yep.
So they're in fear to say anything in Sheldon. And I've seen what some of them live in. I'm shocked.
It's really disgusting. And I was very grateful to have rented from, I'll call him out, Dr. Todd Miedema, lives in town here, rented from him when I first moved here. And he said to me right when I moved in, he said, Wayne, I've been a landlord and I've been a tenant, so I know how it goes. You treat my place fair, I'll treat you fair. And you know what? He lived up to that 100%. Whenever there was an issue, it got fixed promptly and by professionals, not by him, you know, coming in with duct tape and the pliers and trying to MacGyver something together. He knew that as long as I was happy, I was going to keep paying rent, and it was a very wonderful, mutually beneficial relationship. And however, this was not his primary source of income. It just happened to be attached to the building that he was working in that he had just purchased. So for him to do that, it didn't take much because, you know, he was already occupying the building anyway. Now, you have some of these people that actually do it as their full-time means of employment, And I guess you need to feel the need to scrimp every penny, because every penny that you scrimp is right back to your bottom line as far as profit.
Oh, yeah. For every $50 I save is another $50 I make at the end of the year, man. Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you this. How much of this is affordable housing, and how much of this is that our jobs don't pay enough that these people can purchase housing?
I don't know. And I guess that's probably the part of the outcome of this study that's happening right now is to evaluate that. I think that if you look at median incomes and median house sales, that they seem to equal out. I mean, that
what you can afford on a median income, there are houses available to purchase.
Thank you.
Yep. In that price range, yep. Right?
Yes. Now, whether you want to or whether you have the credit worthiness to do that, I mean, those are two different things.
Nobody can help that, though.
That's correct. That's not
there are first-time homebuyer programs to help people with down payment and whatever else.
But if you don't have a bank account, or if you, you know, like you do deal exclusively in cash, or you can't get a credit card because you were 16 and you were a dumbass and decided that you were going to rack up a bunch of bills and then claim bankruptcy, and now you're 25 trying to pick up the pieces. Yeah, there are programs to help with that, but the city can't deal with that.
No, but I don't know.
When you're, especially if you're looking at it from a like a rental standpoint and or a first-time homebuyer standpoint, I think we lose a lot of ground in Sheldon to the neighboring areas because they're going to be looking at the bottom dollar. Well, the bottom dollar as far as home prices go and the bottom dollar as far as tax rates go are going to be indicative of the atmosphere and of the amenities of the city, right? So you're obviously going to be paying higher tax prices in an area that has more parks, more curb and gutter, more things to do, that sort of thing. So, you know, there are some that will say, like, well, no, I can't afford to live in Sheldon, so I'll go to Hospers where I can get the same house for 20% less money or whatever. Fine. Wow. That you live in Hospers. And there's nothing wrong with that. But that's a town of 1,000 versus a town of 5,000, you know? So it's you have your particular amenities. Now, what you have as far as like the affordable housing goes, really the only way that it's made to actually work and work well is in a scenario like the new apartments that we have out by Taco John's.
Which is crazy. They're full.
Yeah.
When
yeah,
I read that in the news, full. I was shocked.
Well, and they did it right. So what they did was they paid the money and they went, because there's a number of government programs saying that if you build it, we will help subsidize this and that. And they also got some tax rebates from the city as well, some TIF. And so they were able to make that happen. And so now that's phase one, and there's a phase two coming. And now from what I'm told, keeping it at the price that they charge for rent, that they would only be able to do it if they had that government subsidy that would help, you know, that grant money that would help float the costs to make quote unquote ends meet. Now, I haven't seen a balance sheet for these guys, so I don't know where they actually sit, but they obviously know what they're doing. And because of them, we've got, you know, 30, 40 more places for lower to middle income people to live, which is exactly what this housing statement will say.
Right. And I think what's probably from, I've been through there, we do some maintenance there, and I think it's an incredible place to live for a large amount of people out there. It would work perfect. Now, would it work for my family? Some of the units might, but most of them probably not. But they're really nice, and they have the things that are, in my mind, are baseline items, like working smoke detectors and real windows you can get out of if there's a fire, and toilets that work, air conditioning that works, heat that works, hot water, faucets that don't drip. It's just, and if they do drip, we go, or we have gone, and we fix it. And it's like, this is really nice. And we have talked off air that in my mind there's some people that purchase homes because they've been told that is the definition of the American dream. The definition of the American dream is to own a little piece of property and call it your own. Well, they get themselves strapped wrapped with the payment, and then all of a sudden they need a new air conditioner, and they're like, oh, crap. Or the roof needs to be replaced, or a window breaks. Or the I mean, there's a thousand things that can go wrong in your home, and there are a lot of people that I think would be better off if they rented, to where the landlord would be taking care of those options, yeah, saving that money and making those improvements so you didn't have to worry about it. But
yeah, because if you're, you know, there's obviously the debt-to-equity ratios, and Mr. Bankerman over here can probably fill us in on that and let us
is
know.
Is the
that.
Word upside down good or bad when it comes to income?
That'd be bad.
Oh,
that'd
all be right, bad. All right.
Because I know I can
underwater,
do
it. Underwater,
that's
term
another bad word. Yeah.
But yeah, debt-to-income ratio, what is your house payment supposed to be? Representative of like percent amount per year month of your monthly gross or whatever? Well,
there are some rules of thumb that are, yeah, everybody's going to tell you a little bit differently on that. But yeah, your total debt-to-income ratio, as far as whether you have car payments, student loans, whatever, you know, should not be beyond a certain percentage. Mm-hmm. And I think your typical guideline as far as a home purchase price, they're going to say 2 to 4 times your household income. Annual household income is a reasonable price range that you can spend on a home.
Sure.
Depending on all the other factors we're talking right about, but somewhere in that range is doable if you don't have a bunch of other payments.
And I get, like, being in my 30s, I get the keeping up with the Joneses thing, and I get the, you know, the putting on airs, if you will. But when you start looking at it from a economic perspective, and you're overspending on your home, you're cash poor all of a sudden. Well, then what kind of life is that?
Well,
right?
I think a lot of people get wrapped up in renting is throwing money away.
Yeah.
I've heard that so many times, and I think it's a huge myth, because no, it's not. You're exchanging money for a place to live. It's no different than any other transaction you make mm-hmm. on a daily basis but in your life.
From the banker perspective, you want to push that.
Well, I think push that long term to build, I mean, a lot of people, that's where a good percentage of their wealth lies, is equity in their home. Mm-hmm. And that's a good vehicle, especially in today's interest rate environment, to build some equity to allow you hopefully to retire someday or to leave something to your kids. But for a 23-year-old who has zero money to put down, now with current interest rates, this is probably less true, but with what typical interest rates where you're talking 5, 6, 7, 8%, you're not making any headway. You're not building any equity for the first 5 years of your 30-year mortgage. And if you move within that time frame, the transactional costs of paying a realtor, this, and whatever, it's all gone. You didn't build anything. So you essentially rented that home. It was just a different form of rental. You rented it from the bank.
And now you lose your first-time home buyer's...
Right. You've used that up because you only get to do that once.
Yep.
So, Mitch, let's wrap this up. Conclusion, how do we fix this problem of not enough housing and affordable housing in Sheldon?
You're putting me on the spot? I'm not the counselor.
You're the smartest guy here.
You're the banker.
Oh, okay.
Smartest guy in the room.
I mean, you've been a banker for 2 days, and I stayed at the Highway and Express once, so we're probably on the same level, but...
I don't know how we fix it. I do think some sort of standards for what's to be expected of landlords. I don't know how you put that into a formal thing without crossing a line. I mean, I get it. We don't need to dictate every single aspect of people's lives. We're not living in California here.
Right.
But on the other hand, I mean...
The city could provide recourse for a rentor.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, then...
Do you want to be the intermediary on all that stuff?
No. We don't have the infrastructure to do it either.
No.
You know, but so that...
Ask me what the answer is, I don't know. I don't know how do you fix that, but it shouldn't be that way. We can agree that's not how your relationship with your landlord should be, right?
Well, and I think, so the answer is going to be spending money. Either way you look at it, it's going to be spending money, and nobody wants to spend money. I get it. So are there other objectives, other things that are on the radar that maybe would be less important? Because I think housing is pretty damn important. I think having jobs and having a growing, you know, vital community is pretty damn important. Now, all of these are means to an end, because that's kind of the idea, is that all of these are trying to make, you know, Sheldon the best city it can be. But if we don't have places for people to live, then it's all for naught, because that's kind of where it starts. My thinking is, I would like to see some of the primary employers in town get together, use their buying power to buy up either some of these houses or to build some something so they can have affordable housing for their workers, because, like I said, it's going to take money. Now, not only could they reap a return on their investment, but the most important part, they have their workers have a place to live, and when they're happy with where they live, they're going to be happier with where they work, and it's just going to be aces for everybody. And now I know it's all sunshine and rainbows, and it's just, yeah, that easy, just when I snap my fingers. But
and they could have maybe a company store, and they could pay you in scrip.
Oh, yes.
And they tried that in West Virginia. That didn't work very well.
We're not talking like indentured servitude here. All I'm saying is that if you have the ability to provide housing, and that, look at our current labor market. Mm-hmm. Everyone is fighting for every single employee. And if you have something that would at least pencil out, or at worst be a slight loss, that's going to bring you the jobs that are going to put you over the edge and bringing your company to that next level.
Yeah, but
I think that's something worth looking into.
If I was Rosenboom, I would say, dear city, here is the amount of money I paid in property taxes this year. Fix this. I want to get more workers. You're the city. Fix it.
Fix it how?
Spend money. Well, give away free lots.
We don't have lots to give away.
Purchase some ground.
All right. So then now we're at $36,000 an acre.
Yep.
We're back to the original conversation I was at the beginning.
That's fine. TIF.
You can't TIF that.
TIF something else. All I know,
the only way
from
you
my years on city council, TIF is a golden word. It's like a magic wand. You just tap things TIF, and say, TIF. TIF.
No, what TIF. You do.
And then free money shows up. It's incredible.
Literally.
And the local school systems and the county get a little upset, but you know what? TIF.
Bibbidi bobbidi TIF. It's for. But the only way that you can do TIF in a residential type environment, believe me, we've looked, is if it is for low to middle income housing.
Perfect.
Which does not pencil out when you're paying $36,000 a flipping acre for land.
You're just going to have to take a loss. Property taxes for everybody else is going to have to go up.
Why should we have to subsidize low to middle income housing? That's exactly what someone's going to say.
Mark.
So how do you counter that? Do you say that, well, no, I want to be a good neighbor, so I'm going to pay more in taxes so that somebody else can pay less?
Yeah, and then it goes back to
what's affordable mean?
True.
I mean,
free.
Yeah.
Why don't we just become a big commune?
But
just do this Hutterite style.
There was an answer, at least partially, and a small vocal minority just, you know, made the city piss it down their leg. And that was using franchise.
Because the old franchise.
Well, because that was the only way that people who rent would be able to have some skin in the game. Because everything else, all the other taxes are paid by property owners. So having a franchise fee could be allotting some of these dollars that were not coming into the city coffers to pay for things like, you know, ambulances and fire trucks and, you know, things like so you don't die. And then that would free up money that was from the general fund that could be used for things like this. But no, it's just another tax and blah, 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 blah. 3-hour flipping city council meetings. And
some of these same people also complain about we don't have affordable housing.
Ain't that the truth?
So, yeah, I don't know. Don't know. Don't have a good answer for you.
Yeah, well, that just sucks.
It's tough. Shelton is not the only town that's had these meetings that has...
No.
Looked into this and has come out just kind of wondering, okay, what did we learn?
What blew my mind, though, when I moved here, I moved from Rock Valley, which is not that much. I mean, it's a little smaller, but it's a growing town. It's not a dying community.
Correct.
It's a nice town. Housing is not much cheaper there than it is here, if at all. But for the same money that I could rent a $35,000 house, I was renting a brand new 3-bed, 2-bath townhome in Rock Valley. So how do the economics work there for that landlord versus here? I weighed that in my mind, and that didn't make a lot of sense.
So it usually comes
down
to...
How do they make that work?
I don't know
what the rent is there today. That was 10 years ago.
But what I would say is it usually comes down to a secondary funding source, city helping subsidize or something like that, tax abatement, something to that effect that makes it so that it's in that similar level.
It seems like we have this problem to a greater degree than our surrounding communities do. So maybe we need to look to them for some guidance.
You know what? You like Rock Valley so good, Mitch? Just move back.
Words right out.
Right off of the... Never mind.
When it comes down to that in an argument with
Remember last segment when we talked about how positive we're going to be?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you were the one that started all this.
Well, we were doing just fine not recording, and then you're like, wait, guys.
Wait, this went negative. We got to get this on here.
I'm going to start recording. This is going to be great. People are going to love this. They're going to be laughing and rolling tears.
You know what? Next segment, we're going to make up for it, because we're going to talk about vaccines.
No, we're not. No,
we're going to talk Olympics.
Back with segment three after this. I wish we had maintenance. Hard enough to find someone to pick up all the empty beer bottles around here.
I did it again.
Again. Oh, look at you.
Again. Well, you guys have sour attitudes. So I want to tell you a little story that we were told this weekend in different church.
Different church? Oh, you different went camping.
Church. Yeah, we went camping this weekend.
Same denomination, though.
No.
Oh.
No. So,
but of the denomination that when you go camping, you still go to church.
It's still okay. So it's my favorite thing about going to different church is that after going to different church, I feel a lot better about how we do things at my church. And this was no exception. So we loaded up. We went camping this weekend in Newton Hills. We loaded up and we went to this. And the other families had been to this church before. I'd never been to this church before. And we get there. It turns out the church is going to be fairly empty because there's a community service. Now, I would have expected this church to participate in that community service, but for whatever reason, they weren't. They were having their own service, too. So it was, we were like 20-some of us, if not more. We were half of the people there and half of the kids. So we get started. Everything's fairly normal as far as I'm concerned as a good CR guy, pretty normal. And then we have the children's message. Now, you're pretty familiar with the children's mm-hmm. message. You invite the children on down. They say, you know, if the Lord made a bug with a butt that can light up, imagine what he can do for you. You know, just something real easy like that. But, you know, this one went a little different. Now, at our church, we've got a gal that is strictly dedicated to the children's message. Here was the preacher. This one is going to be high quality. This guy spent years in seminary and has lots of years of experience. So he starts with, he gets all the kids up there. Ezra and John are up there. And I'm thinking everything's pretty normal. And then he starts. He says, well, kids, some of you know that we have a dog. He's kind of a big dog. And when I woke up this morning, he was on the bed. Okay? And when I woke up,
is he channeling South Park here?
Yeah. Okay. And you know, I woke up and I smelled a little something. Smelled a little something in the room. And I swung my legs over the bed and I put my feet right down into something squishy.
It was poo.
Yeah, and you know what? We'd been giving our dog antibiotics. And you know what happens to animals when you give them antibiotics?
Of course I do.
Yeah, and the kindergartners are like, no, why? And your
kids are like, we would never give our livestock antibiotics.
That's right. You can't eat that dog now. No. And I'm starting to, I'm just horrified. I'm sitting in the pew. We're at church. This is a story about your dog just crapped all over your bedroom floor. And he's telling the kids a story.
So anyway,
let's see how we bring all that.
I didn't have much time to shower, so it's a little
going on and on. I'm like, you're just a really big mess, because you know how it is with antibiotics. And oh my goodness, and then I had to clean all that up. But you know what? I made it to church this morning and I was fine because I had the joy of the Lord in my heart.
I wouldn't.
You can have the joy of the Lord in your heart, too.
The joy of the Lord that makes it okay to pick up dog shit.
Well, he persevered through it.
God bless him.
The Lord does not give you anything that he cannot carry you through.
But I would have had a hard time being upbeat about that story. That's all I'm saying.
It was only one set of footprints in the sand.
It was a 3-minute story where 2.5 minutes of it was describing his dog's bowel movement in the master bedroom. And I just was like, what in the world are we listening to?
So did that kind of set the tone for the rest of the service then? Or?
Yeah. Yeah. It was fine. But I just was really shook up.
Is that what you're saying?
He gave out candy and the kids forgot all about the dog's bowel movement. And so everybody was fine after that. But it's like, this is the craziest children's sermon I've ever heard in my life. By a paid professional. But anyways. Well, so there are a lot of churches on the conservative end of the spectrum that think that children's stuff is hogwash. It's family. You do everything as a family. This could be held up as a great example of why we don't have children's messages, because sometimes they can go awry. This one just left the rails.
Well, if you're going with like a strictly family message, then isn't it up to Paw to disseminate it to the children? Maybe that
I didn't bring it up to the kids when we. I just was like,
so what
do you guys think of the children's message?
That's the craziest.
I'm glad our dog doesn't have the antibiotics.
That's right. It's just like, can't we just stick to lightning bugs and monarchs and elephants? Nope. Anyways, but camping otherwise was really good. We packed up Friday in the rain, which didn't upset anybody because it was raining finally.
Yep.
And by the time we got to Newton Hills, it was done raining. Yeah, it was really a beautiful, nice, cool weekend over there. I love Newton Hills, except you don't get very good cell phone reception. That gets me. I can't take any more than...
I thought they had improved that.
Maybe take a phone call, maybe not.
It's nice that you were able to go for 2 more nights, so that's 10 nights for the year?
No, we have 9 nights, so we've got 11 nights. We're leaving...
So cost per use is down to what, $600 a night?
For the year or for the...
For the year.
You're dividing the whole machine over that?
Well, over how many years? At that cost, you're at 30 years.
$500 a month on a 15-year note. Isn't that what you told me?
What?
No, I'm kidding.
He's saying, I wish I was paying $500.
Wait, what? That's it? Is that all it should be?
That's just my interest. But they told me it's deductible.
Speaking of being upside down.
Oh, we're going next week. We're going to Palena.
Oh, are you?
We're going to head their money. We're going to go with my folks.
Well, like, you haven't really done that.
My dad pulls the camper to the front yard, doesn't even plug it in.
I did drive past it the other day and saw it just sitting out there.
So my mom's pestering my dad. Can you at least plug it in? You know, maybe we can start putting things in the fridge.
Wow. I'll get to it when I get to it.
And
don't want to waste the electricity.
Now we've got a plan. So next Monday or Tuesday, we're going to pull Monday down to Palena because, you know, I want a good spot.
Right.
Everybody pulls out like Sunday afternoon-ish or morning. And I think Monday should be a good time to get in there. And
oh, yeah.
It'd be a nice...
you'd be fine.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be fine up to Thursday.
We want to stay during the week. I'll come into work, but the wife and kids will stay there.
Oh, I mean,
the kids can kayak,
sure.
And the kids can fish, and the kids, they can swim. And
Then it's kind of a vacation for you.
Has anybody heard how that park is doing since we lost all of our O'Brien County conservation officers?
I have not.
I don't know.
Is it still open?
Still open.
Does the lake still have water in it?
Yep. Nope. I don't think the fish have gone on strike. So I think there's all 15 fish that are in there.
No
still
way, man.
Good.
There's good fishing in Palena.
There's not to my experience.
For a skilled fisherman.
For a skilled fisherman, there's no problem.
Whatever.
When are you going out again? Or are you getting ready to sell it? Oh no, you're looking at a permanent spot.
That would be my goal, is to do a permanent spot. So if anybody out there knows of a seasonal spot, please let me know. Because I had a couple leads on some things, and they ended up falling through. But
Dalma's pretty cheap. Just pay for Dalma every night.
Yeah, every night. Leave it there.
No, that's fine.
There's no park rangers to kick you out.
Finally, hold my gear. No, we went up to... Olson Park up in Worthington. That was actually pretty nice up there. It's still a little on the pricey side, but
$20
$33 a night.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's free electric, so you can keep your windows open and run your air conditioner.
But no water.
Hookup. Oh, no water,
no water,
sewer.
No sewer. Yeah.
Oh.
But, you know, you get water tanks, so it's fine.
And you got your holding sewer tanks.
Mm-hmm. And it's just the three of us, so in the course of a weekend, I don't even think we got off full on as far as the holding water tank goes. Because I came home to shower, of course.
Yeah, showering in the camper is, I'm willing to do it, but it's not like at home.
Even in a $300,000 camper, that experience is not improved.
Terrible. No, the experience is much improved from the old one. However, you still have a limited amount of water, and if you're filling it up at the campsite or from the hydrant at home, it's hard water
yes.
and full of nitrates.
Yes.
So it's not like doing it when you're at home that's and it's softened.
And that's exactly what I told my wife, too. Like, I've been battling psoriasis for years, and it got really bad when I spent that 2 weeks living in the camper between old house and new house,
mm-hmm.
Just because I was showering at the shelter house every night. And literally, like, I've had to spend multiple thousands of dollars on doctor visits, medical treatments.
I would take these bills to the city. It's the city's fault. They are giving you poor subhuman water. They can't.
I wouldn't use that to wash my dog. Right.
You need to bring those to the city.
Well, there's a reason why I've been
involved. They can put a softener in there, 324-3251. They can put a softener in the bathhouse.
It's just a transfer pump coming straight out of the Floyd is all it is out there.
Well, it should be plenty soft then.
Yeah.
Maybe it was the Roundup and the 2,4-D and
causes cancer and hard water. But no, finally found a dermatologist that's helping a brother out. But yeah,
when was the last time you bought softener salt? Oh.
Holy crap, Doc. You fixed it.
No. Actually, the actual conversation was we were talking about setting the number on the water softener, and T-Lam was setting stuff up, and he's like, well, you know, you set the number between 50 or 60. And I'm like, well, what's the scale? It's like 100. I'm like, well, bring it to 80. Oh, no, you don't want that. You don't want that. And then Aaron's like, Tyler, shut up. If he wants it, just set it.
Like, if he wants to just be a salt lick,
yeah,
I wouldn't dare walk through my pasture. Them cattle would lick you all the way across my pasture
but you
from
know
the amount
what?
Of salt you
But
put
you know
on
what? I, for once, I'm not actually, like, you know, instantly cracking and peeling and just feeling like absolute just, like, dried out, slithered raisin, you know? So
a whole new life for you.
It is. And in even better times ahead, infrastructure bill just passed for Lewis and Clark.
Really?
So it's coming. Yep.
It'll come here. Are we the next leg?
We're the next stop.
How fun is that?
All right.
We are the next stop. So, and then.
So I can just run my sprinklers all night, every night, all summer.
That's right.
Cheap water.
No, I don't want to do that.
They purport. When we went down to Des Moines, one of the things that the director was saying was that, you know, towns that get these, that get Lewis and Clark water, when it comes in, you start looking down the streets, you start seeing a bunch of water softeners being set out for scrap. Don't need them no more.
That'd really be something.
It's going to put Aaron out of business. I shouldn't be advocating.
Water softeners are kind of fun sometimes, but I'd be fine if I lost all my water softener business.
But then those water heaters are going to go last so much longer.
That's fine, too, because people are pissed.
This thing's only 8 years old.
Like, I know. Again, give the bill to the city. If you learn one thing from this episode, it's the city of Sheldon needs
blame
to start.
If you pay any taxes at all, they owe it to you.
Mm-hmm. They owe you a new water.
Oh, I'm suddenly regretting a lot of things that I've said.
No, I would be fine also with not, because water heater costs have skyrocketed over the last 4 or 5 months, and they don't last. There's nothing more miserable to sell than something that won't last, and the cost is way up. It sucks.
Yeah, you know that it's just like, well, enjoy this for a couple of years, and then...
Yeah, and then warranty. Well, it's under warranty. I know, but I need to pay my guys. I told my guys your water heater was only 3 years old, but they said they'd rather not clock out. So they are still going to be getting paid to do this, so I need to pay them. And it's... Sheldon is so hard on water heaters and water softeners. That extra treatment that they do causes them beads in your softener to sludge up and fail prematurely, and it's a deal. it's a deal.
Yeah,
so heating and cooling. You know, if nobody ever had me do another plumbing thing again in my life, I'd be fine.
Yeah, but it's
well, maybe it's just edit like that out. If the phone stops ringing tomorrow.
Yeah, well, you said.
I'm just trying to go by his wishes.
Well, seems like that's all we got, huh?
I had my Andy Griffith moment today.
You did?
Yeah. Where I had to take my foot and chew on it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Do tell.
Yeah. So, my boy's been working at Gettings with Andy, our friend Andy.
Well, now, so he must be doing more than building boxes for strawberries. Yeah.
So, when we got back from vacation, Andy texted and said, come on over, he can walk beans. And I said, perfect. Every grown man wants his kids to walk beans at some point in their life, to live the same miserable crotch chafing experience that they did as a kid.
Isn't this 2021? I mean, isn't that kind of an outdated technology?
Not if you're organic.
So he's organic. So then there's
I couldn't help but feel a little bit of like disdain in your voice. Not if you're organic.
No disdain for you for not knowing that.
No.
So Sunday night, Asa says, "Hey, I'm thinking about taking tomorrow off. Would you be willing to send Andy a message and see if that's okay?" And
how
I said, "No way.
He's just going to take a day off?"
Yes. I said, "No way. Well,
he's
you are a grown
by now."
No. It's not.
You're I want to talk to my union rep.
Yeah. I said, "No, you are a grown man. Andy is expecting you. Louise is expecting you tomorrow morning. You don't do this night before text BS.
And some of my employees do to me.
You're better than that."
But hopefully they don't have, like, their dads text you.
This is Tyler's dad. He's got an upset tum-tum.
He's got an owie tum-tum. And he's a special little boy.
So I said, no, absolutely not. You will go to work tomorrow as you promised, and you can talk to Andy and see if it's okay, right, with Andy if you take a day off this week at some point. And I'm in the back of my mind like, what a freaking sissy. What does he want to do?
Hasn't even does made he it a play? Whole damn summer.
I want to play NBA 2K, or I want to do
Roblox.
Roblox and Minecraft, and, you know, the air conditioning is really kind of nice.
You know, that's what's going through my mind. I'm like, but then I'm like, okay, he's 13 years old. He's just getting into work. Let's all work and no play makes Asa a dull boy. Fine. So then last night, I send the message to Andy because Andy didn't happen to be there, but he told everybody else. So I just wanted to send the message to Andy, say, hey, Asa didn't see you, but he is taking tomorrow, Tuesday. And so,
well, no, hold up. Like, what kind of job do you have where you say, I'm taking tomorrow off?
That's 2021, son.
Jeez.
You know that just as well as I do.
I know.
The employees
I know.
Carry all the power. And I know you and I want them to ask, and us, we
I
can be
know
like,
I gave you time off. That's that right. Doesn't mean you're entitled to use it.
That's right.
Now, wait. Watch, just a cotton picking minute or a bean walking minute here. There's a difference between scheduling a day off and saying, I'm not coming in tomorrow because, you know,
you're right. Yes. I get that. Not everything can be scheduled, though.
You're gonna watch me and you're going to look at my thumb and my thumb's going to quiver. And if it winds up being up, you live. If I point down, you're dead. You will not have the day
off. You're fired.
So, last night I text Andy and then I go in to the little room where Ace is playing on his computer. And I'm like, so, got any big plans for tomorrow there, tough guy, taking a day off from work when you haven't even put
still
in
can't believe you let him do that.
And he said, this is where he humbled me, the lawn is getting rather long. I wanted a day off this week so I could mow and do some trimming and other things around the house. And then in the back of my mind, the things you're not getting done.
You know? I just wanted to take a day to emasculate you, Dad.
So that's when I was like, oh, wow. Okay. Well, thank you.
And here we are, the actual, like, 24 hours later. And what's Aaron doing? Recording a stupid podcast.
Right. Yep.
I hope he's getting more of my jobs done at home.
Oh, yeah.
So, Mom said it would be nice if we had a real man around here who could take care of the property. So I thought at 13 I could step up.
I drug the driveway, Dad, and watered some trees that you've been lacking that looked a little thirsty. Changed oil in Mom's minivan and checked her tires because you're kind of pathetic.
Yeah, and then even paid that tax bill that you've been late on.
Like, okay, so all right.
How did you respond to that? Because you had to have been like,
I said, oh, that's good. That's good. And then just kind of walked back into the living room and sat down. Yeah, I was like, wow.
Well, I guess I'm going to go play Roblox. That's then.
Right. I'm going to get the Switch and play some NBA 2K for a while.
So would you have done that as a 13-year-old, taking a day off?
You know what I did when I was 13? I pulled the plug off of the spark plug off the lawn boy so I could go out there, pull the string about 7 times for all the neighbors to watch.
Yeah.
See, I couldn't get it started, and then go back into the house and go play with my buddies.
I tried. On. You know, just ask the neighbors. Ask Joe. Joe saw me pull it 7
Look,
times.
Look, Joe, it won't start.
Be sure to tell my dad I tried.
Yeah, that's what 13-year-old Aaron did. Good thing he got a lot more of my wife's genetics than I think I give him credit for.
Well, what scares me is that he's... So far, he's using his power for good and not evil, but I
how long will it last?
I fear that the day will come when he says, well, hey, I'm kind of smart. Maybe I could work smart, too, and not hard.
You know what I think really will propel this into good or sour him is how I pay him for his bails that I'll receive from Andy for his work.
I suppose he's probably not seen dime one yet,
right?
No,
he has not seen a dollar. All there is a credit at Gettings Farms that will be paid out in hay that I'll be purchasing from Andy.
So like, do you take him on the side-by-side and, like, look at the bales of hay like, hey, look what you did this summer. This is looking
great. I bring him out there and say, look, your hay's growing. It's growing. In about 3 weeks, Andy will cut it, and then it's going to dry.
Well, I really didn't make your wage until we sell the cattle.
Okay, right? Banker. Yeah, that's good.
I would have paid you back.
I'll pay you as soon as I get paid.
Right. Oh, that would be bad. Again, that would probably
and then
sour
if one
him.
Dies, be like, oh, that one was yours. I don't know. Sorry, Asa.
Yep. And you call dibs on
better
it.
Better luck next summer.
Yeah. And 14-year-old Asa, and I'll get a text from Andy saying he didn't show up for work today, and I'll go, uh oh. We've got a boy going down a whole different path now.
No, it would be more likely. So your son just asked if he could work here full time and then maybe sleep here at night. Any idea what this is about? Well, apparently you value him.
Mm-hmm. I got such a kick out of this past Friday. Thursday night, Asa says, hey, on Friday, all the guys, all the hired hands go to town for dinner. They're going to Pizza Ranch tomorrow. Could I have the $11? Or they think it's like $11. So can I have $11 to pay for my buffet? And, oh, yeah, that sounds like a good time. Who are you going with?
Did you give them your, like, rewards card? Like, make sure they stamp this, but you give it back to me.
You know, I really failed my heritage when I didn't do that, didn't I? So we gave him the money, and then...
Tell him you're 11.
Right. I'll let you in on a clue. So a little hint, son.
You know, don't tell him you're 6. That's not believable. 11, though. So then we're at work, and the guys are like, you know what? My guys are like, let's go do buffet. Let's go do buffet. All right. Well, yeah, I guess that's interesting. Ace will be there. So Ace walks past the window. He kind of sees me. And then you see him whip around to look at the parking lot to see if my truck's in the parking lot. And then you can just see the disappointment on the poor boy when he figures out, I'm at Pizza Ranch too.
Dad.
So he comes in and I'm like, hey, why don't do you want to sit by your old man for dinner? I guess. Like, no, I'm just kidding. You sit with your buddies. The most hilarious part of the whole thing was, though, who's coming along with him? It was just supposed to be the hired hands and Asa. Who comes along? Andy. Andy's coming along. Asa's like, yeah, Dad, Andy just brought my meal. I still got all my money. I was like, yeah. Who invited him? Oh, all the guys were ribbing him, telling him he should come to eat with us, come to eat with us. I was like, yeah, that was so he would pay. That's how this works. And and that was pretty good. Andy did pay for all of his hired men, and I paid. Well, who am I kidding? The business paid for all of my hired men. And,
thanks, Mom.
Yep. Yeah. that was pretty fun, and it's fun seeing him grow up. And
Yeah, so which is funny because he's about at the same maturity level you are now as a 40-year-old. So I'm really excited to see where this goes because I really see a lot of upside potential here. It's uncharted territory.
If this podcast goes in for the next 10 years and people will listen and there will just be like one kid that they never hear about, like the kid of disappointment.
Oh, Ezra. You know?
No, we're not giving him a name. No, there's a lot of upside to that boy yet. A lot of upside. I don't know if there's any way he could get any. Well, as long as
he doesn't land in the court reporter, I guess would be all right.
And I thought that guy had three kids or four kids. We only ever hear about three.
Yeah, it's like Duck Dynasty where there was always the brother they never talked about. Mm-hmm. That'll be.
I'm just waiting for Asa to sit you down like your mom and dad did and be like, "Dad, it's time for you to buckle down."
No more of this podcast. You
start pulling your weight around here.
You need to do some more mowing, chucking mom's tires. And
speaking of which,
more of the man things around here.
I think it's First Reformed Church's sportsman's banquet.
Yes.
Yeah. They asked me if I would MC it.
Mm-hmm.
And Godwin from the Duck Dynasty
show
is gonna be there.
Certainly.
Well, he's gonna have an interesting perspective on that family because the show is a lot about the family, and he's just kind of a worker bee, and a supplementing character to the story. And
he makes the duck calls. Like he actually physically makes them
and knew the original Robinson from the very beginning. So yeah, I look forward to hearing the guy, what he has to say. I think it's going to be a real neat draw for the Reformed Church to have that with their sportsman's banquet and possibly even a bigger name, the MC.
Oh, yeah.
Our own Wayne Barahona.
Yeah, that'll
definitely
be
MC. A bigger human.
A bigger draw, gravitationally.
I'm sorry.
I wanted to end this on a good note. No, I'm sad.
Look who's talking. Come on.
I'm going to go eat my feelings. It's dinner time.
Let's go make that pizza we were talking about.
All right. Speaking of which, let's put a wrap on this.
All right. Today's episode of the DBA Pod is brought to you by Super High Tech on the web at super-ht.com.
Well, you don't have you, bud.
Okay, well,
it's where you say, you can learn more about us and just who the heck we think we are by visiting us on any of the socials of Twitter, Instagram, Facebook,
Parler,
MySpace.
Is that still a thing?
I have no idea.
I think it still
did
is.
They,
yes.
Did they get their hosting space back?
Yeah, I don't know, they might be in China now.
Better than Amazon, those communists. anyways, our website.
Yes, all right. That's the one. And until next time, we'll see you.